For our Peace Bucket, we're talking with Lindsay Kashkarian, who's a program director of the National Priorities Project. We've had both the project and Lindsay on previously. Of course, April 15th is known as Tax Day, and a lot of the taxes in the federal budget goes to the military, the Pentagon, defense contractors. And so, Lindsay, I notice on your webpage you have a breakdown of how much the average taxpayer is actually contributing to various parts of the federal budget. So do you want to maybe give us some highlights of that?
Sure, Mark. So, like you said, every year we do a tax receipt to let people know where their tax dollars are going. Most people have probably, hopefully filed their tax returns by now. But you might know whether you got a refund, but you don't know exactly what your tax dollars were paying for. And so, we give this receipt with the idea that there are some things that people are actually happy to have their taxes support, and other things that people do not want to see their taxes, support. And one of the things that we take the closest look at, because it's one of the biggest expenses on your tax receipt, is spending on the military. So this year we found that the average US taxpayer paid over $5,000 for militarism in all its forms and its support systems. And that includes spending on the Pentagon and war. It includes spending on deportations and detentions and militarization of our borders. It includes spending on mass incarceration and federal law enforcement policing, and it includes spending on veterans because that all of our veterans programs, while they're very necessary, are really support systems for our war, and military. So when we put all those things together, the average taxpayer is paying over $5,000 for all of that, and the biggest chunk of that by far is for the Pentagon and military. The average taxpayer gave over $2,900 in 2023 to the Pentagon itself. And the biggest part of that is for Pentagon contractors. So we take a really close look at that as well to see what people are giving to the corporate contractors that absorb about half of the Pentagon budget every year.
Now, we often hear that I think somewhere over 50, maybe even 60% of the discretionary budget, goes to the military. But if you include Medicare and Medicaid, which is perhaps one of the bigger parts of the federal budget, the military budget still exceeds Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes, so our tax receipt also looks at Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare in particular is largely funded by a trust fund, and that means it's not funded by your income tax dollars as much, but it is some, and Medicaid is. And so one of the things we look at there is sort of is what you're paying for those things. And what we found there is that the average taxpayer is giving about $4,300 to Medicare and Medicaid. And these programs have been tremendously successful. Nearly all Americans age 65 and older are and have been insured thanks to Medicare. That is not true of me, that there is not a program like that for any other age group that covers as many people as that. And then thanks to expanded Medicaid and Obamacare or American Care or ACA subsidies, the number of uninsured Americans hit a record low in 2022. So, the US is famous for not providing universal health care for its citizens, and that is still true. But through all of these programs and the increased spending under all of these programs, we have come the closest to universal health coverage that we've ever been.
I'll just quickly note, I for many years was one of the lead organizers in New York State for single-payer health care, which some people call, should be called, expanded and improved Medicare for all. But as somebody who recently has now been qualified for Medicare, I recognize how, in fact, incomplete Medicare actually is. And the average senior citizen still ends up spending well over $100,000 to supplement to Medicare. But one of the things I was also sort of struck about, a couple other issues I worked on for many years, was hunger. And so while we're spending over $5,000 average for the military, we're only spending $516 for food stamps. And then my new pet issue is climate change, and we're only spending $10.84 to bat climate change. Does even the average congressman understand how warped their spending priorities are?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of folks in Congress who take for granted these spending priorities, and particularly the huge spending on the Pentagon, and the Pentagon contractors. But I don't think a lot of them appreciate, honestly, just how low our spending on renewable energy and energy efficiency for the climate crisis, just how low that spending is. So I think it's a point to make kind of over and over again to let people know, like you said, we're $5,000 for militarism. People are spending, the average taxpayer is spending $1,700 just for Pentagon contractors, just for the corporations. And then, like you said, $10.84 for renewable energy and energy efficiency. Now, that's not all of the programs, because many of the programs in the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, were tax credits, and so that's not direct spending, and it doesn't show up in that number. But it's still an absurdly low figure. You mentioned climate change being a pet issue, but it's got to be a lot more than a pet issue for. And I think you were being euphemistic a bit, but it's got to be a lot more than a pet issue for all of us, because it is shaping our futures. It is shaping our lives. Their severe weather events have been getting more frequent and getting more extreme. More of us are experiencing things like flooding or wildfires or smoke from wildfires, which, even though I don't live anywhere near wildfires, was a big issue in my area last year and is increasingly frequent. So it's, I think members of Congress aren't looking at this closely enough, but it's less of an issue of awareness for them and more an issue of giving them a reason to do something different. And so that's where people can come in and give their member of Congress a reason to do something different.
So we only have a little bit over two minutes. So I'll ask a two-part question, one part being we can get people about more information. But staying on climate, many of us are very disturbed at the recent COP. The United States only pledged, I think, $12.5 million to deal with loss and damages, to pay for the damages being caused in the global south. And then, yes, in the last week, they put together this military aid package, $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, and then $8 billion for Asian countries to basically counter China. Now, not all that was direct military spending, but still, these are enormous numbers.
They are enormous numbers. And I just want to underscore what you said about million versus billion, right? These numbers aren't even on the same scale. So it's a huge, tremendous difference. And it's frightening that members of Congress are willing to throw tens of billions of dollars into these wars, and can't come up with sums like that, especially when it comes to international climate issues. Like you said, the figures then are typically in the millions or maybe 1 billion. And which one of those is a bigger security threat, actually, to people in the United States? A lot of the wars are not necessarily Ukraine or Gaza, but a lot of conflicts around the world are actually driven by climate change. And the fact that we're just not, our politicians are not willing to spend to counter climate change, is going to be a growing problem. And the willingness that they've shown, even as hard as it was for it was there was lots of drama. It took a while for them to pass this package, but they did it. And that actually goes to show that if they had that same determination to pass a major, for example, international climate change package, they could do that as well.
So if people want more information, or they want to, maybe nudge their Congress people to actually understand what they're doing with the budget, get a website.
Yes, our website is www.nationalpriorities.org.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with Lindsay Kashkarian, Program Director, National Priorities Project, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.